glad that you're here this morning. A lot of you got your clock set just right. Now, if somebody comes in and as I'm saying the benediction, don't laugh. But we're glad you're here. It's cold, but you still chose to come to the Lord's house. And so we're so blessed that you're here. Those who might be in the parking lot or listening later on the website, we just pray that you're blessed. Now, I know that in one sense, we use Brenda's introduction to let you know that it's time for the service to start and get into your seats. But I hope that you're listening. She always picks such great songs. What did she just play this morning? It is well with my soul. And I pray that every person that's listening this morning, it is well with your soul. That if while we're in this service, the trumpet of God would blow, there wouldn't be a soul left sitting in this building. That we'd just be out the roof and gone to glory. I pray that it is well with your soul. We need to continue to pray for the Ukraine and the mess that's there. From time to time we get notices in the news and Facebook and different people have relatives there or friends there, and it just breaks your heart to see what's going on and to know the devastation, the lives that are needlessly being lost. And so do be praying every opportunity you get. Pray for the Ukraine and the people that are there, and for peace to come in that awful situation. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house, and I thank you, Lord, for each person that's gathered. And truly, Father, I do pray that it is well with all of our souls. Lord, if there's anyone, in the sound of my voice, either in the sanctuary, on the website, or out in the parking lot, that does not know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, Lord, may today, not next week, not next year, but today, may they get that situation settled, so that whether the world comes to a conclusion or whether there's a rapture of the church, whatever, that they're ready to go and be with Jesus. Father, I do pray for that mess in Ukraine. I pray, Lord, to just lift up all the hurting people. Those that are in pain from injury, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that have lost loved ones, those that are wondering if there is any future. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, would give them peace, comfort, healing, provision. Lord, I pray that you will come and intervene in that situation in such a way that you would receive the glory. Father, I pray for the political leaders around the world that are making decisions. Lord, we know that in times past you stirred the hearts of people like Artaxerxes and Cyrus and others who weren't even believers. You warned some like Pilate through the dream that his wife had. You warned Pharaoh through the dreams that he had and Joseph interpreted. Lord, there's so many ways that you've spoken. We pray, Father, that you'll do it again. Father, now as we spend this time in this service, may the Spirit of God touch our hearts, speak to us. May we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, wills to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. And if you will, please, this is hymn sing time. So we picked a hymn out of the hymnal this morning, page 407, Because He Lives. And certainly it's a great hymn to sing this morning together. As we stand, please, all three verses will be up on the board, "Because He Lives." Someone this morning. All right, I have some announcements I want to share with you this morning, and we are now in the midst of the Annie Armstrong. I want to go to Christmas all of a sudden. I moved along too fast. But we are in the midst of the Annie Armstrong offering for the Seas Home Mission, so let's be sure that we remember to do that. And we also want to know, while we're talking about the Annie Armstrong, Jeff, I believe you've got a video for us.
In St. Louis, there's a plethora of churches. So one of the constant things that we kept hearing was new church. Why do we need a new church in this community? We already got a bunch of them not doing nothing.
In this neighborhood, I mean, there is a lot of homelessness, prostitution, fatherless homes.
The world has changed. Sin has increased. There's more crime. There's more drugs are prevalent. It's not a secret thing anymore.
My family and I bought a house in the community, and we moved there in the community. So the people that we wanted to reach, we were living amongst. We would set up on a Sunday, bring our own church, bring a barbecue pit, some chips, some hot dogs, and we would have worship service in the neighborhood park. And we just began to live there, love there, serve there, and people started to come. When we see people submitting to discipleship relationships, when we see people surrender their heart to Jesus, when we begin to see the neighborhood beginning to change around us, like, that's when we just know, like we're doing this right, and we wouldn't change it for the world. But it's going to take all of us working together to ensure that lostness is being addressed in our communities.
It's the body of Christ. There's someone in Tennessee, they may never come to the inner city of St. Louis, but they can give and contribute because they believe in what we're doing as a body, as an entity, to help us to get to that next level.
We just got to work together. We can do more together than we can do apart.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Also, we want to remind the Baptist men that we have our Baptist men retreat scheduled for March the 25th through the 27th. And looking forward to that. It's been right. All right, Jeff, we'll do that. So you Baptist men, remember, don't go that way. Do you come this way? And let's have a meeting right after service today. Looking forward to that retreat, by the way. It's been, what, 2 years? Feels like maybe three. Is it three, Robert? It felt like 10, I really look forward to that. And David, we thank you for your generosity again to allow us to come and be part of you. I'll do my best to take care of things when we go. That's an inside joke, most of you know. But anyway, I'm looking forward to being there. I truly, truly am. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing, absolutely, to be together. All right, are there any announcements that I may have overlooked at this point? Lionel, I believe you have something you want to share this morning. I believe you said announcement.
Yes. Right. Next Friday, the dad will be 95. And the next day, someone else will be 95. My mother-in-law. We're going to try to have a motion. Next Friday afternoon between 2 and 4 at my parents' house. If anybody would like to drive through and wish them a happy birthday, it's a drive by.
Yeah.
Combined for 190 years.
Wow. What a monumental thing. I mean, you've got two people here, 95, and that's just an absolutely amazing thing. So go by and say happy birthday to Mr. Heath and Aunt Bertie. So that'll be wonderful to do. Thank you, Lionel. Appreciate that so much. And Baptist men, remember right after service, come down. Are there any other announcements? All right. I'm going to share now our prayer request. You know, prayer requests are something that we take time to do here. When I come in sometimes on Sunday morning, I have just maybe a couple. But then before I'm ready to present it to you, I've got a lot. Because that just shows you that there's still a lot of need in our church, in our communities. And so I want to share those with you this morning that I have already. And, of course, I want to thank you all. Thank you, church, for your prayers. Linda Swearingen family, my sister, I appreciate that. It was certainly a great shock to all of us, but thank you for your prayers and your concern. We also have Gene Thompson family that we put on the list this morning. Gene came here many years ago. Matter of fact, they were married in this church. And so let's remember Sharon and the family this morning. and Kenny Linker, who's a convalescent, talked to him yesterday. He's doing, or talked to Rita, and Kenny's doing much, much better, and so is Rita. And so we're good. And Stace, good to see you back, and you're doing well. Wonderful. Wonderful. Good praise reports. I like those too. Let's remember Tim Smith. Tim Smith is in the hospital today and not doing very well, I believe, Jeff, you're saying. So,
yeah. As I understand it, he got carried with an ambulance from the doctor's office in Uppsala.
Yeah. So, Brenda, you have a report on him? Okay. All right. Let's remember Tim. Also been asked to remember Aaron Moore this morning, and also Brenda Hill. Now, Brenda Hill, she's the wife of Keith Hill. He, you know, may know him, a farmer in our community. And let's remember Brenda this morning. I don't know much about the condition, but let's remember her. Now, are there others that I have overlooked or anybody you'd like to remember? Yeah, I saw that.
Three missionaries, Toby Thornton, and the other two, I don't know their names, but I'd like to pray for tribal mercies for them while they're on this venture.
All right. Oh, the others? Yes, Stace. Okay.
Tomorrow, I think. Either
tomorrow
or Tuesday.
So
just give them traveling mercies. Okay. Oh,
the other? I'm saying what?
When he's second, we think we'll have our Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
And we're just excited because I got two little girls.
Mm-hmm. All right. Love to see the family together. Are there others? Yes, Rosina.
My nephew, William Honeycutt, with the lung cancer, is not doing well, if you remember him.
All right. Okay. All right, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we come to you, Lord, and with humble hearts, Lord, and also with thankful hearts. Thanking you before we ask you for anything, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for those who prioritize their time today and be here in your house today. But Lord, we also know, Lord, there are those that are hurting here and then across the world. We still will remember those people in Ukraine. And we lift them up to you this morning, Lord. There's so many people hurting there, Lord, that only you know. Only you know the numbers. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for them today. But then, Lord, those that are closer to home, Lord, we want to lift up before you today. We pray for the Linda Swearingen family, Lord. We pray for Bradley. And for the Gene Thompson family as we pray for Sharon. Kenny Linker, we thank you for the praise report we received for him this morning, and we thank you for that. And then, but Lord, the Tim Smith, we pray for Tim, and we lift him up to you this morning as he's in the hospital, Lord. We pray for healing for his body, as we pray for healing for Brenda Hill this morning as we remember her. And then, Lord, as we remember Emily and Lee on their trip, we pray for traveling mercy for them as they travel. And Lord, as we think about the William Honeycutt, we pray for him, to lift him up to you this morning. With Toby Thorpe and all the mission trip that he's about to enter, we pray for him and we pray for traveling mercy for them. And we pray, Lord, for blessings upon that mission trip for them as well. We pray for Ann's family, Lord, as they're traveling with her. We pray for them this morning. And Lord, all those, Lord, that are among us, Lord, today, Lord, that are hurting, and I know, Lord, that they need a touch from you. And Lord, we pray for your mercies upon them and for your healing. And now, Lord, we turn our attention to our service today, the remainder of our service today. But boy, we want to thank you already for the blessings we've already received this morning in Sunday school and thus far in the music, Lord. But now we ask a special blessing upon us as we go forward with the music, Lord, as we continue. And then, Lord, with Pastor Ed. We're so thankful for him. We ask your blessings upon him today. And Lord, as we continue on, Lord, we want to say thank you again as we lift this prayer up in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, as we go forward now, it's time for our praise song. I have established a praise team in our midst, and you're going to be hearing from them every Sunday in this slot. And you'll see them, and you'll get to know them all, but you know them anyway, but you'll see the numbers of the praise team. If you want to be a member of this praise team, there's always room for you too. But until we get a choir, I want to do it this way, and I think it's a way to make this work. And so, Miss Kathy, I'm going to ask you to come up this morning, and I want you to share and lead this song that we're about to do. It's a beautiful song. As a matter of fact, the choir sang this song at one time, but I picked out a new arrangement of this, which I think is totally suitable for the congregation as we do our praise song. Come now is the time to worship, and that's what we're here for. Miss Kathy.
Hey, if y'all will all rise with us. This is as new to me as it is to y'all, so we're learning together. There is a scripture portion toward the end. There's a little break, so if you guys, when we get to there, I'll ask you to stop singing if you'll read the scripture and just meditate on it for a little while. All right, ready. Just
You know, that praise song emphasizes a great scripture. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And as the chorus says, the blessing comes to us who worship Him and bow before Him now. Yes. One day, every demon in hell and every unsaved person in hell will bow before Jesus, but it'll be too late. But for us, we're just on time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back about the time our kids were 12, 14 years old, we took a spring break and went to Washington, D.C., and while we were there, we went into the Smithsonian. And in one of the exhibits, they had this humongous bear. I mean, you know, that thing looked 8, 10, 12 feet tall. Big old polar bear. Our son, who was the oldest, you know, he didn't even come halfway up.
And he was a teenager at the time.
And you know, the taxidermist had done such a fantastic job. I mean, that bear looked ferocious. I mean, I can imagine breaking into the place in the middle of the night with your little flashlight and seeing that thing and getting scared out of your wits. But you know, that bear was not alive. It looked ferocious. It looked like a bear, but there's no life to it. Now, you could go to Alaska or you could go to a zoo and you could see one of those same type bear out in the wild. And it wouldn't be a pretty picture if you tried to fight that bear over the last salmon in the bucket. The difference between life and no life. Another illustration that'll help you to understand where we're going this morning. I learned early in life, first from my Grandpa Smith and from my dad, this is a bean plant, this is a pea plant, this is a tomato plant, this is a corn plant. You leave those alone, but this is a weed, you pull it up. And I spent many an hour with a hoe. I mean, you know, when I first started, I was so far down here, there's more handle back here than there was down here. Or on my hands and knees trying to pull up the weeds, hoe the weeds, and leave the good plants. From the very beginning of Christianity till this very day, there's always been the problem of true Christians, authentic Christians, versus those who just look like Christians. Those who have no life, no Christ life in them. And especially in the American church today, there's a lot of it. where you have the real Christian, the authentic Christian, versus the cultural Christian. Jesus told us it was going to be that way. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And look at this parable that Jesus told. Beginning at verse 24 of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came, sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did thou not plant sow good seed in the field? From whence then are the tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest they, when you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Good seed versus weed seed. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And born again folks versus folks that the devil has sown that don't know him, don't know Jesus. And he says, you know, at a certain point, it's difficult to separate. Now, some of you that are better gardeners than I am maybe don't have the same experience that I did. But when I was at Prospect, I had a pretty good garden spot behind the parsonage. And I grew cantaloupes and tomatoes and green beans and always tried to grow some butter beans. And I was so careful to keep them everything weeded. But invariably, it seemed like every year, at a certain point, two or three deaths or funerals, serious surgeries, something or other, and I couldn't get out there and stay after the weeds. And the next time I would go out to check on my butter beans, there'd be more weeds than butter bean vines. Now, fortunately, I could still finger around and the butter beans would produce and I'd get some, but there was always so many more weeds, and at that point to try to pull those weeds, I'd have just well plowed it all up. So I was better off to get what I could. And that reminds me of what Jesus is saying here. Sometimes things just grow up together and become difficult to separate. Isn't that a picture of a lot of churches today? A lot of denominations? Where people really know Jesus and where many church members don't know Jesus. It's sad to read some of the surveys that are done from church members in America, more especially in America than in other parts of the world, of what people that don't believe things that are in the Bible, don't practice what's in the Bible. Many think that there are many ways to heaven. And some of them are pastors. Some of them are deacons. Some of them are just church members. And more, it seems like every 5 years or so, it gets worse. And they say, well, you know, 5 years ago, the 60% believed in the infallibility of the Word of God. Now, 48% or whatever. And it just drops and drops and drops. And you wonder how the church is making even the progress that it's making with the way Satan has infiltrated. And there are some denominations, it's almost like they're more unbelievers than believers. I've told this before, but I remember being with a friend of mine up around Hickory. And we went by this really big church of another denomination. And it looked like about the size of St. Martin Lutheran Church. And my friend Jim said, they just fired their preacher. I said, really? And I'm thinking, that denomination, why would they, did he run off with his secretary or something? Why would they fire him? I said, well, why'd they fire him? He said, well, he was going house to house trying to get his members born again. And they just didn't appreciate him trying to get them saved. I mean, you know, that staggers my mind. They were comfortable going to hell, just, you know. They thought because they were a member of this denomination that ensured their salvation. And they didn't appreciate a pastor that told them, you need to be saved. Another scripture I want us to look at is back a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll start reading at verse 13. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll start reading verse 13. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall be entered into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever doeth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Jesus said there's two gates, two different destinations. There's false prophets who will lead astray. There's good fruit, bad fruit. We know people by their fruit. It's not just our words or our works, but it's whether or not we're doing the will of the Father. It's not just whether we have Christian on the name of the church. It's not just whether we have our name on a church roll, but are we in touch with the Heavenly Father? Are we knowing Him, listening to Him, and obeying Him? And sometimes you don't know, like that first parable, you don't know for a long time. Now, while Greg was teaching this morning, I thought of a scripture. You know, the Sunday school lesson was about Judas. And I thought of a scripture that I don't think was in the lesson. You remember over in Luke, I think it's Luke 9, when Jesus sends out the 12. And he says, you go out and you witness and you cast out demons and you heal the sick and you do all of these things. Y'all remember that scripture? And the 12 come back and they say, oh, Lord, it was fantastic. Did you notice something? It didn't say 11 of them came back and said, it's fantastic. But Judas said, man, it didn't work for me. The team that was, and I don't know who Judas was paired up with, but his team seemed to have the same type of results as all of the others, but we know how Judas turned out. There seemed to be fruit, and it may have all been because he was paired up with Bartholomew or Matthew or somebody else. But he was a part of a team that seemed to have good results. But in the end, he was a traitor. Jesus said, not everybody that says, hey, I'm a believer, really is. Let's look at the third passage of Scripture, and this is probably the most, one of the most familiar in the Bible, John 3. John 3. You know the story. Man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In one sense, Nicodemus really looked good. I mean, from a spiritual standpoint, Nicodemus wore a tuxedo. I mean, he looked good. I mean, he had all the credentials. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He knew all the laws. He knew all the rules. He kept all the laws. He kept all the rules. He did everything possible as he understood it. I mean, he looked spiritually good. But what did Jesus tell him? You've got to be born again, and if you don't, you're not going to heaven. Isn't that what verse 3 says? I truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes on later in John 3 to talk about being born from above, being born of the Spirit. He talks about the fact that you've got to have a spiritual experience whereby your life is transformed by the power of God. It's not walking an aisle. It's not being baptized. It's not just mumbling a few words. It's a born again, transformed experience by the power of God. And apart from that, we don't make it to heaven. That's why it's so deadly, deadly serious. Deadly serious. Eternally serious. That we truly are born again. Let's look at one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, or given life, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversations in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know that bear in the Smithsonian, nothing you could do to make it live. It looked good, it looked ferocious, it looked real, but there was no life in it. But you know, you can go into an emergency room, and from time to time, somebody will flatline. Heart stops, and that monitor just flatlines. And that doctor or that nurse can run in there and grab those paddles, put them on the chest, push a button, and restart that heart. They were dead, but they lived. That's the picture that Paul gives here. Spiritually dead, but God touched us with his power and made us alive. Not anything that we could do, not anything that we could do, but his power. I guess the way I picture it, and you can picture it differently, theoretically, the heart could start beating, and they could say to Doc, let me go, I don't want to come back. And the doc could quit. They would have that moment of choice. And we have a moment of choice when the Spirit of God touches us and says, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in that moment, we can say, yes, I want to live spiritually. Or in that moment, we could say, no, I refuse spiritual life. And we can remain spiritually dead. We have that choice. But life spiritually comes from the power of God transforming us. And Paul, as he writes to these Ephesian Christians, talk about the power of the devil and living in the devil's realm and following the lust of the flesh and all of this stuff. And so when I see somebody who says, I am a Christian, and they reject holy living, they reject godly living, not that any of us become perfect. Not that any of us become sinless. But we choose. Now some of you farmers may know better than I do, but I have read that if a sheep gets dirty, he goes tries somewhere to get clean. But you can go down here to the state fair and see those prize hogs, you know, they got them all shined up. They got the little ribbon on their tail and all that kind of stuff. But you turn one of them loose, where are they going to? Mud hole. That's the difference in the nature. And a Christian may stumble and fall. A born again, authentic Christian may stumble and fall. But he or she is going to want to be cleaned up. They're going to strive to be different. But just a cultural Christian can be satisfied to go to the mud hole and slop around in it. Jesus knew it was going to be that way. And I think about the little chorus that goes, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. It bothers me to see and hear people say, oh, I'm a Christian. But I can do this and I can do that and I can do the other and it doesn't bother me. I can have this kind of ungodly lifestyle, this immoral lifestyle, and it doesn't bother me. I can take the Lord's name in vain, not just inadvertently, but as a lifestyle. And it doesn't bother me. I can go years and years and years and never set foot in a church, except maybe for a wedding or a funeral, and it doesn't bother me. I never pray, I never read my Bible, and it doesn't bother me. Jesus says there, in the Sermon on the Mount, basically that a lot of cultural Christians have chosen the wrong road and they're going to be disappointed when they stand before the Father. Only those who are authentic, who have been touched by the power of God, have been transformed by the power of God, and have chosen the Christ-like lifestyle, will be excited when Jesus comes. From things I know, there are some churches that if the trumpet blew during the service, practically everybody would go. There's some churches that I know about, some would go. And there's a few churches I don't know that anybody would go. And that's so sad. I encourage you. Make sure your relationship with Jesus is real. I encourage you when you meet up with family, friends who say they're Christian, but give no evidence of it. You try to point them to some scripture that says to them, are you sure? Are you sure? Paul in another place says, and if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's be ready to get on board when the Lord says, come home, my children. And if you're not ready, whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're in the parking lot, whether you're listening on the website, please know you can be ready if you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Don't depend on your church membership. Don't depend on your baptism. Don't depend on your mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa's relationship with the Lord. None of that will cut it. Nicodemus looked as good as anybody could possibly look. And Jesus still said to him almost immediately, man, you got to be born again. You've got to be born from above. And without that, you'll never make it to glory. God is the same yesterday, today, and and forever. He is the God who changes not. And what Jesus said to Nicodemus, he says to all 8 billion people or whatever the world population is, you must be born again. And without it, you'll never get to glory. May we pray. Father, you know our hearts. And Father, I pray that today, every person listening to me knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, if there's anyone that doesn't, I pray that the Holy Spirit, in a loving way, will quicken their heart. Let them know their lost condition. Draw them to you. Father, help us to be sensitive to the culture of Christians around us and lead them to a saving, born-again experience that will transform them for all of eternity. Father, thank you that it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. So, Father, may the Holy Spirit draw us to you. Thank you, Father, for the word that says, if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw men to himself. Father, help us to lift up Jesus. Not just to lift up the church or the preacher or the choir or the something else, but help us to lift up Jesus. Father, the desire of my heart is that every person that's listening to me today will be in glory with you. May we so choose. May we so choose to allow you to transform us through a born again experience, born from heaven experience. So that we can be there with you. Thank you for the love that sent Christ to the cross, resurrected him, and offers us eternal life. May we choose to live. May we choose to be real, authentic. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.